October 31st, 1517, a young monk and professor at the University of Wittenberg, a man by the name of Martin Luther, posted 95 statements upon the door of the chapel, which was used as kind of a public bulletin board. And these theses, as they're called, these statements, regarded indulgences that he wished to discuss. How are we justified? The unintended result, that is, Martin Luther never anticipated this or even desired it, was what we know of as the Protestant Reformation. The foundational principles of the Reformers came to be expressed in five Latin phrases called the solas. They are in your bulletin. The first is sola scriptura, scripture alone, God's word alone. There is no authority greater than scripture. No church, no pope, no creed, nothing is before God's word. Number two, solus Christus, that is Christ alone. It means Jesus Christ is the only means of salvation. He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is the only human revelation of God the Father. And God is justifying his people only through Jesus Christ. Number three, sola gratia. Grace alone. The point here is that we are saved from our sins by the unmerited, undeserved grace of the living God, and not because of any good that is in us or done by us. Grace is the completely undeserved favor of God towards sinners. There is nothing that we can do or nothing that we have done that can move God to forgive us and save us. We are saved from the righteous judgment against our sins, justly deserved judgment, simply by his grace. Number four, sola fide, faith alone. It means that we are saved from our sins through faith alone, not by faith. That is, it's not our faith that we contribute. Faith is the channel, the means of entering into a relationship with God. Faith in Christ crucified, that is the object of our faith, the crucified Christ. We are justified before a holy God simply by faith in the work of Jesus Christ. Number five, sola Dei gloria, that is, to the glory of God alone. God alone is the one who is to receive the glory and the praise. God alone is the author and the finisher of our salvation. And we are to live for him and to the praise of his glory alone. As the first question of the catechism says, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Well, as Martin Luther struggled with these issues, and particularly the question of how is a sinner justified before a holy God, he came upon Galatians chapter 3, and particularly verse 11, and its truths that he'd read many times suddenly struck home to him. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. In other words, sola fide. Like so many in the world, Martin Luther had been seeking justification before God by his own efforts, by his works, by his faithfulness, by doing things like climbing the stairs on his bloody knees in Rome by saying so many prayers, by denying himself certain things, by all kinds of good works. But none of those things brought peace to his heart. None of those things brought confidence in his heart that he was right with a holy God, that he was forgiven of his sins and cleansed. And then he found Galatians 3:11. What does it mean to be justified in the sight of God? This was a great issue of the Reformation. How is a sinner made righteous? This was triggered in the Reformers and Martin Luther in particular because of the sale of indulgences. Pay some money and get a slip of paper permitting you to sin and be forgiven. How can a sinner stand before a holy and a righteous God by buying a piece of paper? How can we stand before a God who is a consuming fire without being consumed ourselves? What Martin Luther and the other reformers came to understand was that justification was not a matter of their own good works, but of entering into the perfect, completed, finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. The judgment of the law against a sinner of eternal death was declared to be satisfied in Christ's death. So the believer in Christ, clothed in Christ's righteousness, is seen by God as righteous, justified, forgiven, and the debt owed by sin is paid. That debt of punishment for breaking God's law has been paid, and the believer is free and justified. Justification is a once-for-all event. That is, it's not something that happens again and again. It is not the same as sanctification. Sanctification is a lifelong process of dying to sin and living to Christ. Justification is not repeated every time we sin. Justification has to do with our standing before a holy God. You either are or you aren't justified, forgiven. You either are or you aren't in Christ, clothed in his righteousness before God. And suddenly, as Luther read this, God's Spirit worked in his eyes and his heart, saw the truth. No one is justified by the law. Justification is not in keeping the law. Justification is not by doing, not by works of righteousness, but simply by faith. In the words of the prophet Isaiah, all of our righteousnesses, all of our good works, all of our human efforts are like filthy rags to a holy God. Instead of good works, Galatians says we must live by faith. Hebrews 11 tells us that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we have not seen. Faith is convinced that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. Faith is confident that not only does God exist, he created all things by the word of his mouth. And he did so with purpose and with design. Scripture says in the space of 6 days. And all very good. Faith believes that God is and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Faith in the New Testament is confidence in God and his promises, and in particular regarding justification. That faith is centered upon Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That he is the only Savior the only redeemer of sinners. As the scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So New Testament Christians are called believers. They are called literally people of faith. People who live by faith. Faith in God. Faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Justifying faith is not an intellectual faith or only an intellectual faith. It's not just knowledge about God. Why, the devils know about God, but they're not saved. Justifying faith embraces Christ as my Savior, my Lord, and the living God as my God. Faith is used in different ways in the scripture. There's active faith. That is what we would call saving faith or justifying faith. It is believing in Jesus Christ. It's trusting in his death and burial and resurrection as an atonement for my sin. Number two, related to this, is a faith that is believed. So we would say the gospel. Jude rather uses faith this way in verse 3. Contend earnestly for the faith. That is the gospel, the true doctrine of Jesus Christ. And then number 3, faith is also used in the scripture in the passive sense. That is, and it's usually translated faithfulness in this regard. It relates to our life. Growth and obedience as a Christian. Faithful in our walk, in obedience. You might think of it as living faith. Professing faith and living faith. Or doing faith. Doing what God commands. And that is how Paul uses this word in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. There must be active faith. That is, there must be saving faith before there can be living faith. You can't live as a Christian unless you are a Christian. And the world turns this all around, doesn't it? Martin Luther struggled with this. He sought to live as a Christian before he was a Christian. But saving faith always comes before living faith. The Bible also warns that there is a false faith, false profession. Jesus gave a strong warning about this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. They had a profession of Christ and they had a certain amount of power, I would assume, from Satan. They even did miracles. But they did not have genuine saving faith in Jesus Christ. It was an intellectual understanding, perhaps, a factual knowledge, but it was not of the heart. They were never in Christ. They were never justified before a holy God. There is spurious faith, mere profession without possession. And those are not saved or born again, and so there is no fruit of the Spirit. In fact, Jesus says, by their fruit you shall know them. Those with a false faith will lack the fruit of the Spirit. They'll lack, for example, faithfulness. That true faith produces a living faith. But those who are truly resting in Christ, who are abiding in him, who have been justified by the grace of God, will reflect their justification by spiritual fruit. Jesus talks about this in John chapter 15. While those who are not in Christ will be revealed as unfaithful. What Luther recovered was the gospel. True faith, saving faith, is never of the law, never of works, never produced by ourselves and our efforts. This is what Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The law cannot justify sinners. Instead, what Paul and the scriptures teach is that the law brings condemnation. It brings death. It brings judgment upon you because you cannot keep the law. The law brings knowledge of my sinfulness and my need of a Savior. But it can never remove our sin. The law says, in fact, the soul that sins shall die. It says the wages of sin is death. Notice verse 10. Just before our verse 11, Paul says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. See, no one can keep the law. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Paul says, if you break the law in just one little point, you're guilty of all. And you stand condemned before a holy God. And so he says, verse 11, no one can be justified by the law in the sight of God. So if the law condemns, if the law cannot justify us before God, how can you be right with God? How can you be justified? Well, Paul says the just shall live by faith. Simply by faith in Christ. Verse 13. Who has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been a curse for us. Well, what about good works? Well, good works are not the cause of justification. They are the result of justification. True faith produces obedience to Christ. It produces living faith, faithfulness. The new birth, justification, regeneration brings life to the one that is dead, Ephesians 2, in trespasses and sin. True faith produces life, and it always brings, as a result, active faith, living faith, new thinking, attitudes towards God and His commandments. It brings a desire to obey and serve God, as the psalmist, Psalm 84, puts it, an attitude that says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. This is what James refers to in the negative. He says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Saving faith is transforming faith. And it results in living faith. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Saving faith is a faith that does not just hear God speak, does not just hear God's word, but desires to obey it, to keep Christ's commandment, to walk in the light. Saving faith is a gracious work of the Holy Spirit that results in spiritual life that in turn produces a changed life. Martin Luther wrote, faith is a living thing, mighty in working, valiant and strong, ever doing, ever fruitful, so that it is impossible that he who is endued therewith should not work always good works without ceasing, for such is his nature. What saves is faith alone, but the faith that saves, Luther says, is never alone. If you are truly saved, truly justified by the Spirit of God, born again, if you possess spiritual life, true saving faith, God's Spirit will produce a living faith in you. Faithfulness to God. Think for a moment of faith in relationship to God. God does not exercise faith, does he? In the active sense of the word faith, God does not have faith. God is God, and there is no one greater. Who would God have faith in? So that's an impossible thing. But God is faithful. God is absolutely faithful and dependable. Listen to Deuteronomy 7:9. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. The faithfulness of God is a reflection of his immutability. God does not change. Why does he not change? Because he is eternally perfect. He is the same, Scripture says, yesterday, today, and forever. God is faithful, must be faithful, because of his very nature. He does not change. He does not go back on his word. He determines to do something because it is good and right today. He will do so because it will still be good and right 1,000 years from now. Truth does not change. God does not change. And so he is faithful to all he promises. And so, because God is eternally perfect and unchangeable, he's faithful to his word. He's faithful to his covenant. He's faithful to his people. He is a God who keeps covenant with his people forever. This is not just good theology, and I've just scratched the surface. It's not just good doctrine regarding the attributes of God, the nature of God, the character of God, and the work of God. It is nourishing to the soul if you reflect upon it. It's comforting to our hearts. If you are in Jesus Christ, if you are justified by the blood of Christ, your God is unchanging and he is faithful and you can depend upon him. He will keep his word to you. He will keep his promises to you. Your hope for eternity, for heaven, for a righteous standing before a holy God rests upon a God who is eternally faithful to his word and unchanging in his character. We, on the other hand, by our very nature, are unfaithful. In 2 Timothy 2:13, Paul reminds us, however, if we are faithless, God remains faithful, and he cannot deny himself. His very character is that of faithfulness. His very character is that of unchanging perfection. Faithfulness is an eternal attribute of God, reflecting his absolute perfection in his being and in his work, and his loyalty to us, his people. His faithfulness to us, his children, is unfaltering. Even when we lack faith, even when we're unfaithful to him and disobey him and disregard him, he is faithful to us. Something the psalmist rejoices in, Psalm 89:1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. You, Christian, can absolutely depend upon the living God, upon His promises, upon His care to you, His child. He will keep His word. He will keep His covenant with you. And this characteristic of faithfulness that we see in our God should be a characteristic as well in those who are justified. The new birth, the saving faith of the redeemed, will be marked by a life of faithfulness reflecting our God in heaven. Believers can have faith in God not just to save us, not just to redeem us, but to keep us. Faith in His care, faith in His goodness, faith in His promises for eternity, faith in His love for us. Even when life and circumstances are difficult and dark, His love is steadfast. Faith that we might not see and understand, but that He is working all things together for good for us, His children. Faith in God brings us to live by faith, because it is a faith that trusts God. It trusts God's will. It trusts God's ways. It trusts God's purposes. Faith is confident that the things of God might seem foolish to the world, might not always make sense to us as even His children, but that they are right. They are good, because God is right and God is good, and He loves us, His children. Saving faith also brings us as a consequence to be faithful. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 4:2, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. And that word faithful is the same Greek word that Paul uses in Galatians 3. True faith, living faith, will produce a life of faith. As God commands, thou shalt have no other gods before me. God demands that we love nothing else as we love Him. And Jesus reminds us that we shall love the Lord our God with all of our heart and mind and soul and strength. If you are living by faith, you are living for God. You are living by God's word, because Scripture is a lamp under your feet, a light under your path. If you're living by faith, you will love God and you will love God's people. 1 John 3:21, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. If you're living by faith, you will be accountable to God's people. Hebrews 10:25. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised, God, is faithful. Same word. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If you're living by faith, you will reflect your Father in heaven. You will keep your word. You will keep your promises. You will be a faithful person in your dealings. Psalm 15:4. Because God honors those who fear the Lord, he who swears even to his own hurt and does not change. God's people reflect God, who is faithful to his word. The wisdom of the world says that it's about us and it's for us. If we're to be justified, if we're to be saved, it's by our own efforts, our own works, our own faithfulness. But the world thinks that God's ways, the way of faith, is foolish. While Paul says, God says, it's really the ways of the world that are foolish. Because the wisdom of God is that no one is justified by the law. No one is justified by his own works. For the just shall live by faith. If you have been looking to your good works to be right with God, your faith is misplaced. Because no one is justified by good works in the sight of God. But if your faith is in the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross, if you're a child of God's, if you have saving faith in the crucified Christ, God says you'll live by that faith, confident in the God who justified you and is keeping you. Shall we pray?